and its contact. I guess I should say we're doing things a little bit backwards today, announcing the sponsor of the program before the actual title of the show. Community County Services is our guest this morning here on Contact. And you're probably actually familiar with them already, if only because you've heard us say Contact, sponsored by Community County Services, family-based mental health. So what is family-based mental health? We're going to talk about that, learning more about what Community County Services offers, what kinds of families can really benefit from this, and all of that and much more with our guest this morning, Corey Yaris. I'm Brittany Madera, your host, and the show Contact, of course, our sponsor, Community County Services, which is also our topic for this morning.
Hi, folks. Are you having problems with your child at home? Is their behavior a problem? Are you at your wit's end? If so, call us for more information. Community County Services. We provide family-based mental health. Call for information at 371-8066. We work to help you keep your family together in a healthy way. Community County Services, 371-8066.
And bringing us into Contact this morning, we are talking about Community County Services, which we just heard right here on the radio. We heard about them. So we're going to go a little more in-depth this morning. We have Corey Yaris with us. Good morning, Corey.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I am so glad that you are here because, you know, we're going to talk about what people hear on the radio all the time, about that family-based mental health and get a better understanding of it. And I'm glad that we brought you in because I feel like, you know, you can go pretty in-depth with this stuff. You've been there for quite a while at Community County Services.
16 years, yes.
16 years.
Yes,
goodness gracious.
Work, yes.
So explain, I mean, clearly you enjoy what you do if you stay there for 16 years. So what do you do? What's your average day look like?
Well, the idea of family-based mental health is it's a very large therapy model. So to describe it in this radio program would probably bore your listeners and overwhelm them with too much information. So I'll just try to keep it basic this morning. The main idea around family-based is that the child's behaviors are influenced by interactions that are going on with the family, either family members, siblings, extended relatives, as well as interactions that are happening in that community. And a lot of people may assume that therapy is all about problems. You know, we go to therapy because we have problems. Really, the idea behind family-based is about creating solutions, and the solutions come from within the family and the family's interaction with the larger community. So a typical day, let's say just the family case that we have, would be meeting with that parent and that child. And this could be an established patient or someone that's brand new, getting to know the current situation. We know that the world has really gone upside down the past year or so, so every family is experiencing stress in a lot of different areas. And sometimes those stressors show through the child's behavior, and all parents care for their children. So the idea about family-based is that we work on that child's behavior through the family, using the resources and the strengths of the parents and using their connections with the school, the doctors, or other community resources to really support that child's rehabilitation, whether it be, you know, a disruptive behavior in the school or something that happens in the community. Our goal is to really stabilize that child in that natural home setting and keep them there permanently with the family. To go back a little bit into the model, families will come to us with a variety of concerns, namely within the child's behavior. Typically, with our program, we deal with very high-risk families, so children that are potentially at risk of being removed from the home, going into a hospital setting, or perhaps a foster care setting or a residential placement. We really want to target those high-risk families and reduce the rates of placement, because with the placement comes a variety of concerns. First and foremost, the child leaving the home. You know, there's a great deal of loss with the child leaving that home for the parents, the family, and the child as well. And then the time apart, you know, we lose that precious developmental time where it's hard to catch those things back up. So really our goal is to target those high-risk families and support them through a variety of treatment techniques that empower the family to do the work on their own and gradually rely more on themselves and the community around them compared to the therapist. We often say we work ourselves out of a job. I know that sounds rather unusual. Given the current climate, everyone's looking for employment. But really the idea of family-based is you work yourself out of a job. I want to get to know the family. I want to understand their circumstances. We get a lot in depth about their history and the patterns that have gone on. We access many areas of their life. We get in touch with the doctors, the school counselors, the pastors, anybody that is tapped into this family. We want to access them as a resource. So sometimes that can be a little bit intrusive. getting to know the family so much, but we really want to create a comfort zone with the family that lets them know having this information allows us to better understand the nature of the problem, but also all the resources we can create towards a solution. So getting back to your original question, a day in the life of a family-based therapist, we would meet with the family, have a specific goal in mind for that day, working on a specific skill, whether it be parenting, coping, and really creating an environment in that session where the family feels comfortable with our presence, first and foremost, assessing any current safety concerns that might have happened since the last visit, making sure that we have that stability, and then moving into the intervention, teaching, modeling with the parent, and always handing that skill off to the parent sometime during that session. Again, working ourselves out of a job. The program will work over 32 weeks, so in that time, we have to be very careful about not becoming so central to the family that they're reliant on us, because then that change leaves with us, and that's not the goal of therapy. The therapy is designed to empower the family to create their own solutions and do the work on their own. An average session can look anywhere from an hour to 2 hours, depending on the nature of the exercise. So that leaves 22 hours in the day where we want the family doing for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the nature of family base is to go into that session, teach a skill, empower it, practice it, help that family feel a sense of confidence that they're doing for themselves, so that the idea of us leaving after the session or maybe having a break over the weekend or a holiday doesn't set that family into any kind of anxiety, that they feel comfortable doing what they're doing and knowing at the end of our services, they have the tools necessary to hold themselves not only accountable, but responsible for those child's needs in a way that they don't need an intense level of service such as ours.
Yeah, absolutely. That is so wonderfully said. Now, clearly these families are coming to you for a reason. So What kind of issues are there generally to start with? Why would somebody think to themselves, oh my goodness, you know, something needs to change here?
Mm-hmm. Like I said before, family stabilization really focuses on the highest risk population. So we see a variety of concerns, be it behavioral concerns that deal with aggression, conduct, compliance. We often run into a lot of family circumstances of, you know, financial distress that's driving a lot of patterns in the family. Also, substance abuse. We do encounter situations of domestic violence. So our therapists are trained in a variety of techniques to assess and examine all those different areas of needs and then team with the appropriate services to really form a network of support around the family. So typical situations, again, normally look like a child's behavior is creating such a risk that the child may be removed from the home to protect safety or to ensure the function of the family. Likewise, if a child is coming home from an area of need, such as an inpatient hospital or a residential, a foster home, we look at what's called reunification, bringing the child back into the home, stabilizing the family, getting them back into patterns and flow where they are relating well to one another, able to go through the day-to-day routines with as little disruption as possible. I'm a father of three. I know what it means to have stress in parenting, especially with this pandemic. It has added an additional layer of stress that I don't think any of us could have prepared for. So we're really just trying to adapt to the cultural demands of what's going on in terms of the workforce. We have a lot of parents that work over the road, so sometimes they're employing grandparents to help. We team with all of the members of that family to stabilize those child's needs and really help instill a sense of confidence with them. I really want to stress that family base is designed to empower, not to take over.
Mm-hmm. And I notice your words are so carefully chosen in a really beautiful way, because not one single time have I heard you say, well, this is for bad kids. No,
I think that sometimes, and I don't want to generalize with families, we have some parents that have come to us right from the start and say, you know, I feel guilty having this service, or I feel like this service is being applied to us because I'm a bad parent. I completely contradict that. I think that's the complete opposite. The truth is, family-based only works when you have families working with it. It's a great theory by design. I could sit here all day and bore your listeners about the theory and why structural family theory works, but the long and the short of it is, you can't really affect a family system without the family. And you can't influence a child's behavior without those people that are most in contact with that child. Again, our therapy sessions are an hour, 2 hours a day. What's the remainder of the time? Parents, relatives, teachers, friends. We have to impact those systems and empower those systems to do the work alongside the child, because they're the ones that are going to have the longest standing impact on them. So when I meet a family, I say to them, thank you for this invitation to Family Based. It's a voluntary service, so the parents are willing to take it in. And I say, you are the ones that are going to help us create this change. We use the term change agent, and that's really what it is. They're the catalyst. They're the ones that help us do this work, because without it, we're sitting in a room talking to ourselves. Mm-hmm. But when you interact with the parents and you get to understand their story and you understand the struggles they're going through and you really see how they want to help this child and they want to help their child grow and to develop into a, you know, a self-sustaining citizen, we see that goal. And we really meet the parents at that level and say, we're going to work through this as a team. You know, I have a role, you have a role. And once we have that joining, once we have that feedback loop with our parents, I feel that that's when the theory is so effective.
Yeah. I would only imagine that a lot of people come into it with some fear, even some embarrassment, like you had said, that this is a sign that I'm doing something wrong. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but the way that you're seeming to look at it is like, no, you're doing something right by taking this step and trying to find those solutions. So it's not something to be necessarily embarrassed about.
Not at all. We don't want our parents to feel any type of stigma, embarrassment, shame with the idea of taking on a therapy model. I'll use my own example. You know, being a father of three, I know I didn't have all the answers. I still don't. So collaborating with friends or, you know, a coworker to say, hey, have you ever come across a situation like this? What do you think? Being able to normalize with our families that a lot of things that we're going through happen because of circumstances. They happen because of patterns that build up over time. And like anything else we do as a habit, sometimes we don't realize it's going on. It's happening so automatically that it has its own power. But when someone from the outside sort of makes an observation and say, hey, I noticed that thing. What does that mean? It opens their awareness. Well, I didn't realize that. I didn't see that. Gosh, that is something I really want to change. The parents really start to feel a sense of empowerment. And that's really the key in Family Based, is helping them see that they are the solution. Their interactions with the child have the longest standing effect. We need you to do this.
Yeah. Well, let's not brush over the fact that it's also, it's admittedly, it's hard work, right? It's not all sunshine and butterflies and rainbows. It does have some, you know, it takes some emotional work to do this.
Absolutely. I mean, the nature of having the model means that there is some type of quote unquote problem going on. There's something that exists within the child's behavior that is at risk. There's a safety concern it needs addressed. So we certainly just don't come in and, you know, it's all smiles. Sometimes we come in and it's very chaotic. We walk right in on the situation and we say to ourselves, okay, first step, let's calm the room down enough to develop a safety plan. And that is about identifying each role and how each person takes care of themselves and how they take care of the other people around them. Right from the start, when you can empower that type of change, you're planting a seed in their thinking that not every day is going to be like this. You know, just to use a fictitious example, if Billy's having a behavior, we might walk right in on it in the session. The parent is pulling their hair out. I don't know what to do. I've tried everything. I understand that, but we're here to support you in that intervention. Let's go back to it. And with that support, the parent realizes that they can guide the child's behavior. They can create change. And, you know, they see that, yes, we're in depth. We are intrusive. Being in your home, sitting in your living room, I often ask, where may I sit down? Because families have those rules. I don't want to sit down in someone's chair and offend. We see their dog. We see the things that go on day and night. It is very intrusive. And we ask them for that trust. We build that trust through the relationship building and through the examination of all those details. We help them see. Helping us understand all these things allows us to better create a solution. We're not here to expose your information to everyone. It's very private, very confidential. What stays there in the home is with the family. Now, we may recruit other supports in to help us, and we say, can we share that information with them? Letting the teachers know, hey, Billy kind of had a rough morning because there's a little bit of stress in the family. Okay, we can take him aside and give him a little bit of calm time. We'll help him recollect before he goes in to take a math test. We all know that stress interferes with our thinking. And helping know the full picture of what's going around that child, I think really helps empower the system, the schools, the counselors, everyone else, to do a more efficient job of care with that child as well. Mm. So we do try to demystify or take away that rainbows and butterflies theory of therapy that we're not going to solve it all in one day. In fact, it's going to take a lot of work. Our system is intensive. We see our families on average anywhere, you know, 2 to 4 times a week, depending on the intensity.
Wow.
We want to be there available for the family. Outside of the scheduled sessions, our program also offers a 24/7 crisis component that at any point in time, that if a family requires additional assistance, we've tried the steps, it's just not working the way we need it to. We need a little bit of backup. We have our on-call service. All of our therapists are on a rotation, similar to a hospital, and we would respond either by phone or in person to that family. And the idea of that crisis response is, again, empower the family to deal with the situation as it happens and reduce those risks of the child being removed from the home. We don't want our families to be fearful of, oh gosh, if I call crisis, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. We're going to be there to back you up. And we do not leave that situation until we feel comfortable with the resolution and we all know what we're doing in the next 12 to 24 hours, because we will immediately follow up with our families to say, hey, how'd we do with that? Did we feel like it worked? Did we get through it? Again, empowerment. Working through those situations at ground zero creates the best change for families.
Okay, so we understand it is going to be some hard work.
Yes.
And I guess we kind of skipped a step here. Why is it even worth it in the first place? What changes have you seen in some of these families, just in an overall sense of where they started and whenever you see them, what could be years later?
I think the best way to summarize it is self-sufficiency. You know, I think a lot of families sometimes feel like, you know, we don't know what to do. You know, Billy or Sally, they won't listen to us. We need someone else to do it. I don't want ever parents to feel discouraged by that. I don't want them to feel discouraged by their role as a parent. They are the most important component of their child's life. You know, whether it be a biological parent, a foster parent, you know, an adoptive parent, whomever is in the responsibility of caring for that child, you are the best person to support that child's needs across time. So, you know, when we look at, you know, some of the difficulties that we've seen, it's really just about helping those families understand you are going to be the one that's going to be with this child the longest. You should be the one we're working with. And when we talk about self-sufficiency, as our program works through time, not only does the frequency often come down or drop off a little bit, but you start to see the families taking on more of those challenges on their own. We would see less crises calls. Hey, we had that situation with Billy, but this is what we did and we figured it out. Seeing that sense of confidence in the parents' eyes and seeing it through their actions is really the best part of this job, being able to transfer that skill and say, I know that you could do it all along. Sometimes it just took a village to do it, and it's okay. And seeing them reach out to other resources. Hey, I made that call on my own, or I got the child involved in this activity. You didn't need me. That's great. That's the best part. When we can see ourselves to the door, gracefully bow, and we know that the family's got it, that's the best feeling of family-based.
That's wonderful. Now, if somebody's listening, because not everybody needs these kind of services, if somebody's listening and they think, well, you know, my kids are already grown. They're out in the world. This is not a benefit to me. What would you say to them about what it means to have this kind of resource available for other families who do need it? Why is it a benefit to, I guess, in a greater sense, the entire community?
Absolutely. You know, families that have grown children or maybe not even have children may say, well, why the benefit? You may know someone. Someone may have called you or sent you a text message. I'm having a problem with this, or this is really getting hard. I know that the pandemic, again, has really placed a lot of stressors on families. And now that we're all coming out of the bubble, we're able to interact more with each other. So with that comes some stories. And if you know somebody or if you've heard a story, you know, not that every family meets the need of family-based, but if you feel that they would benefit from having something that's delivered in the home. You know, perhaps they have difficulty with transportation, or, you know, they're not able to access those other supports because of where they live. That's where Family Base comes to them. You know, we really want people to know that we're accessible. Again, we are a high-risk family resource. So if by chance a family were to come to us and they present their situation and we say, well, it doesn't quite meet the severity or the need of family base, we would help resource that family with other therapy supports or other community supports that would best fit the needs. We never want a family to come to us and just because it's not family based, we turn them away. We will support them in that resource planning and help them collaborate with whomever they need to get the right level of care for their child.
Yeah. How does this work on the financial side? Because I know, you know, we talked about financial stressors can be a big cause of things. How do they work that in to say, okay, we need to go to therapy now? Mm-hmm. What does that look like on that side?
The unique component about Family Base is that it is funded through what's called managed care. It's an outside insurance agency that covers through medical assistance eligibility. If by chance a family were to have private insurance, we would resource with county levels of funding. So a family never receives a bill for Family Base. You'll never see a collection agency for Family Base. We don't want finances to be a barrier to receiving that quality of care. So no matter what their circumstances are in terms of insurance coverage, we will find a way to link that family with the appropriate coverage so that they would be able to access family-based.
Well, we only have about 5 minutes left here, but I know this is not the only thing that happens at Community mm-hmm. County Services is that that family-based therapy. What are some of the other things that happen, although I know that your really skill here is within the therapy side of things.
Right. Within the past 16 years, I've worked with every program that Community County Services has offered. Granted, I've been away from them for quite a bit of time doing family-based for so long. But we offer a lot of other case management, resource coordination services, truancy prevention if a child is having difficulty attending school, a lot of other services that target more specific areas of need in terms of case management for resources, finances, transportation, child care, things of that nature. Of course, truancy is its own element where we specifically target school attendance. Typically, those services are referred through an agency like a CYS, a Children and Youth Services, or a Juvenile Probation Service. Again, the key in those programs is stabilization and maintenance. We don't want the child having to go outside the home to address those needs. We want to address those things within the home, still using the strengths of the family, the resources of the community to stabilize that child and keep them in the home.
That's wonderful. And in these last couple of minutes, let's just get your, I want to pick your brain for a little bit. What is your best advice for if somebody is listening and thinking, oh, that sounds like my family, or that sounds like my sister's kid, or that sounds like, you know, such and such who goes to my church? What is the next step here? What is your advice for somebody who is thinking about therapy, whether that is, you know, through Community County Services or not?
Mm-hmm. I think the idea is to remember that therapy is a guided, solution-focused conversation. It's all about creating solution. Yes, you will bring your problems to the table with the therapist or with the team of doctors, but the ultimate goal of any therapy is to create a solution within that room, using your skills, using your abilities. Don't ever feel that you can't find the answer. I don't know everything. I know that I don't know everything. So to reach out to other people and access their knowledge, their experience, I think that's the greatest part of therapy is that we combine our strengths, we combine our skills to create a solution. Particularly in family-based, it's about preserving the child and empowering the family. In other levels of care, it's about how to care for yourself, how to better take care of yourself in these crazy times that we have. So I just encourage our families to, you know, don't feel embarrassed or stigmatized by the idea of therapy. We all are looking for solutions. Sometimes it's helpful to share the ideas with other people.
So if somebody wants to take that step and maybe even just find out more information mm-hmm. or see if they might benefit from this, where do they go? Where can they find you?
Well, Community County Services can be reached at 814-371-8066. You would like to speak with Maggie Capella. She's our Director of Family-Based Services. She will help guide the family to any level of care. She will assess the situation and provide recommendation, always giving the family the choice and the options, thoroughly explaining the process so that the families aren't feeling that anxiety of, well, what do I do next? We'll walk them through it. Even if it means that they're not coming through our services, that does not matter to us. We want to make sure that the family gets the most appropriate level of care.
Yeah, that is wonderful. And I feel a little calmer even just listening to you. It's very clear that, you know, this is what you excel at is, you know, bringing people those solutions and helping them find them for themselves. So thank you so much for being a part of the show this morning. And again, this has been with Community County Services. One last time, since we do just have a couple extra minutes here, about 2 minutes together, any last thoughts about maybe some misconceptions or some encouragement for all of us, whether we're in a situation where we would benefit from this or not?
I know that we've all been going through a really tough time over the last 18 months, and our children are our future. I know that's an often overused statement, but really, families are the key. Families are wonderful systems. No matter who's a part of them, no matter who participates in them, they're all wonderful and they all have their strengths. The key of any therapy is to identify those strengths and really use them to plant a seed for the future. Being a father, you know, of grown children, you always wonder what will come next. This is really just a way to plant a seed. You know, give yourself the opportunity to see how good of a parent you are.
That is such a beautiful way of putting that, and being able to look at those strengths as well. Thank you so much for being a part of the show this morning. Corey Yaris, he's from Community County Services, and as we said, family-based mental health. You can find more information online, communitycountyservices.com, for more information and to find out whether that might be a solution for you. Big thank you again, Corey Yaris, Community County Services. I'm Brittany Madera, your host this morning, and of course the show Contact, and our sponsor, Community County Services, which was our topic for this morning.
Hi folks, are you having problems with your child at home? Is their behavior a problem? Are you at your wit's end? If so, call us for more information. Community County Services. We provide family-based mental health. Call for information at 371-8066. We work to help you keep your family together in a healthy way. Community County Services, 371-8066.